To get us started, a reading from the 18th chapter of the Gospel of John. I invite you to rise as you are able. We begin with the 33rd verse. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate answered him, "So, you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and risen Savior, Jesus the Christ. Help me out here. I've got a quick question for you. Raise your hand. How many of you, before walking into worship today, knew that today was Christ the King Sunday? There were a couple of hands. Way to go. All right. How many of you know that Christ the King Sunday, that today is the last Sunday in the church year? A few of you. Yeah. Great. I kind of expected that. It's really helpful for worship leaders, pastors, to remember this, right? We're kind of insider church nerds who think about these things like the end of the liturgical year, that think about Christ the King Sunday. And we've got to ask the question, so what difference does it make? I'll tell you that that is a question that I often ask as I think about preaching and teaching. So what difference does it make? What difference does it make that this is Christ the King Sunday? When you walk out the doors today, how is your life different? What is there that you can pick up and take with you? Is there anything that happens here this morning that has any impact on the rest of your week or the days ahead? It's a question that I wrestle with and wonder about. So here's the question that I would turn back to you, that we're going to think about through this worship service today. What would it mean to declare that Jesus is the King of your life? Let me jump back just a little bit to this reading from John, the 18th chapter. You probably remember that this takes place. Jesus is before Pilate in the hours leading up to his death, his crucifixion. And what has happened is the religious leaders of the day have had Jesus arrested. They've roughed him up already, but they don't have authority to kill him. They want him out of the way because he is causing trouble in the temple. He is causing trouble in their midst, and their lives would be a whole lot easier if he and his followers were just gone. But they don't have the authority to kill him. So they bring him to Pilate, the political authority for that region, and they basically want Pilate to do their dirty work. And so they tell Pilate, "This guy says he's the King of the Jews." Well, to name that this one is a king would be to maybe throw up in front of the Romans someone who might destabilize the Roman Empire, hoping that with that charge, Pilate would take over and kill Jesus. But in the midst of the conversation, Jesus is clear. My kingdom is not of this world. In other words, Jesus' kingdom does not come in alignment with all of what we believe the world should be about. Jesus' kingdom is not centered on power, on social status, or on wealth. So as you worship today, ponder what it would be like to live into a kingdom that is completely different than the world that we live in, the things that continue to entice us to run after more wealth, prestige, power, fashion, whatever it is. Instead, what would it look like to center our lives on Jesus' kingdom, allowing him to bring healing to our broken places, allowing him to bring light into those dark spaces in our lives, letting his grace, mercy, and peace flow from the cross through the empty tomb into our lives, gifting us with mercy and grace so that we can share it with others? Well, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself. Remember, I said that I've always seen Christ the King Sunday as a Sunday to look back across the entire church year. Actually, I don't think I said that. I think I skipped that part of the sermon. So I see Christ the King Sunday as a Sunday where we look back across the church year, where we look at Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter and try to understand through those 51 weeks what or who or how this kingdom comes to be and comes to flourish in our lives. The church year begins with the season of Advent. The paraments, so that's a fancy word for the cloths that we wear around our necks, or the altar cloth, or the one on the pulpit, are blue, a symbol of hope. Advent falls in the time of year when our days are shortest in terms of light. We actually have the shortest day of the year in the midst of the Advent season. It's amazing that in the midst of this darkness is the time that we look forward to the light which no darkness can overcome, the light which is Christ to come into our world. As we gather in worship in the season of Advent, all of our scriptures focus on the future, a future where God will act to bring the gift of restoration, new life, and forgiveness. The altar color for Christmas is white, not to represent snow, but to represent holiness, although many of us do pray for a white Christmas. God is a God of incredible surprises, choosing on this day not to stay distant from humanity, but to come very close. As a matter of fact, putting on skin, flesh, and bone, and becoming human in the form of this vulnerable baby. The King of Kings, though, came into the world almost unnoticed. Think about that. Christmas is the center of our life, but it almost happened unnoticed. Sure, angels sang about it, shepherds came and worshiped this one, eventually some kings came, but the majority of the world didn't even realize that the King of Kings had come. It was just another night. In this most unspectacular entrance into the world, you were given the best gift ever. The gift of life that flows through the Christ child. From Christmas, we move into Epiphany. An Epiphany is an aha moment. Learning something new, catching something that you didn't understand before. It was an aha moment for King Herod to hear that a king had been born. And it was an aha moment for the wise men to find this child.
A reading from Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened and all Jerusalem with him, and called together all the chief priests and scribes of the people. He inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'"
There is no question that the king of the time, Herod, was surprised by the revelation, because this was a challenge to his authority. So what did Herod do? He ordered the killing of all male children 2 years old or younger. Meanwhile, Mary and Joseph slipped away. Off to Egypt they went. So think about the reaction, the different reactions of the different characters in this story. Herod reacted with fear of the loss of his power. The wise men reacted by worshiping this new king. Mary and Joseph reacted by protecting this innocent young child. What will we do? Will we honor and follow this one? Or will we, with Herod, fear his reign in our lives? From Epiphany, we move into Lent. The color is purple, a royal color indeed. It is a contemplative season, a time to sit back and think about this King of Kings and his life and his death. In the early church, it was during the season of Lent that new believers came and were educated in what it means to be a follower of this King of Kings. Lent gives way to Easter, and in the Easter season, the pyramids turn white, trumpets blaring that Jesus has risen from the dead, defeating sin, death, and darkness. Through Jesus, God acted on our behalf with love, grace, and mercy for all of creation. We move into the season of Pentecost. Jesus physically did not stick around in his kingdom, but 40 days after his resurrection, he ascended into heaven. In his place, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit. So we celebrate with bright red colors, reminding us of flames dancing upon the heads of those who were present that first Pentecost day. We move from Pentecost day into the season of Pentecost. The color becomes green, a color of growth. In the season of Pentecost, which is the longest season, actually there's green sprinkled out through lots of the year, we grow in our understanding of who this one is, this Christ the King. We've come full circle in our walking through the liturgical year. So if you were to name this one as your Lord of Lords, as your King of Kings, what would it mean? It seems to me that it would mean to work to live into the kingdom that Jesus was trying to bring about. A kingdom where power is replaced with humility, where being served is replaced with servanthood, where loving our neighbor is the highest priority, where grace and mercy take their place over the law. So that's the question. Is this one your king? Would you bend a knee to this Jesus who died and rose again for you?